Good morning, everybody. It really is a joy to be with you here this morning. A real treat for me to get to come to the women's retreat in my short 6 weeks here in California. So I'm really grateful that the Lord's allowed me to be here and just to have fellowship with you this weekend. I'm grateful also for the invitation to come and to give a short testimony. I'm looking at the time here just to be aware too. Shalini asked me and I said yes right away. A long time ago, I promised the Lord, anytime you ask me to speak about you, I will always say yes. And then I get super nervous beforehand, like, why did I ever say that? But anyway, here I am, and thank you, Jesse, for your kind introduction. And yes, I was asked to give a current testimony, and a lot of you do know me, but I'm just going to backtrack super quick just to give you a little context until I can catch you up right here and now. So I'm from Northern Ireland, but I am now an American citizen. And so I grew up in Northern Ireland in a Christian home, and saved at 11, and at 12, the Lord was already calling me into missions to go to be a missionary. And I struggled so much as a teenager with that call in my life. I was not excited about it at all. But at 19 years of age, I set off to Bible school in England, and I sang that song that we sang last night, Take My Life and Let It Be, Consecrated, Lord, to Thee. That was the song of my heart. So I set off to Bible school at 19, terrified of being lonely on the mission field, terrified of sickness, terrified of living by faith financially. I didn't even know what that was. Terrified of so many things. And you're going to figure out very soon, I am a very fearful person. I don't even like to travel. And the Lord was like, go to the nations, Philippa. And I'm like, okay. And I was so afraid, and I took action. And the only way that I was able to move through all those fears was because I had one greater fear, and that was a fear of the Lord. I was raised in a Christian home where God was respected and reverenced, and we were in awe of who he was. And even though as a 19-year-old, I was totally overwhelmed with what God was asking me to do. How do I go and bring the gospel to the unreached? I was more overwhelmed with who was asking me to go. The Lord who created the earth, the Lord who gave his life for me, was saying, would you go do this for me, so others can know me too? And that was the only thing that made me take that first step to go to Bible school. That was almost 25 years ago. I'm going to be 44 on my next birthday, and I just want to sum up those 25 years briefly by letting you know that God did not give me a life void of all those fears. In fact, if the truth be known, he walked me up and through probably every single one of those fears that I had. And I learned one thing through those 25 years, that each time God became greater to me. As I walked up and into all those fears, sickness, loneliness, financial difficulties, being away from my family, all those things, his love, his care, his provision, his faithfulness just grew greater each and every time. But I'm not here this morning to tell you the old stories. I'm here to tell you a current testimony. And as many as you know, Danny and I have been church planted in the Philippines for many, many years now, had the wonderful joy of bringing the gospel to people who had never heard and planting a church there. And in 2018, Danny was diagnosed with an aggressive form of cancer, and we were back here in California with you for 10 months as he went through that treatment. And then after 10 months, we had the joy to go to Missouri, where both Danny and I met each other and where we were trained to be missionaries at the training center. And we went there temporarily just to kind of see how Danny's health was. He continues still to get scans every 6 months. And we had the joy of coming back. We were the students, honestly, that the teachers would whisper, are they really gonna make it? You all know Danny, but you really don't know me to know it was valid to ask those questions. And there we were back to be teachers and trainers of the next generation, to pour into them of our experiences, to share all our mistakes, to share everything that we had so they could have the tools and to be successful, God willing, in ministry. And can I tell you something? We loved it. Loved it. That ministry there was just I think we were so grateful after all Danny had been through that we even got to live life together and to live serving the Lord and pouring out into other people so the gospel could go around the world. Like a dream job. And also, I have to say, teaching in English was lovely. Having hot water in our house was amazing. After 17 years of no hot water, I took long showers. And the kids were safe. They had friends. We lived by a lake. Our family could visit. We had medical care. And right away, Danny was asked to be on the leadership there. And we were wanted and appreciated. And our gifts were being used. It was really a beautiful place. I can tell my testimony through Psalm 23. And I think of our time in Missouri as God restored our soul. It was just such a time of just refreshment in so many ways. Now, I mentioned that we went to Missouri temporarily, but while we were there, the leadership asked us, please stay. Would you just stay on and keep doing what you're doing? And I thought, oh, hot showers, and I can go to Starbucks and serve the Lord. And this is pretty good. This is like when you put 20 years in and you get the corner office, you know. I was like, oh, this is more what I was thinking, Lord, you know, thank you. And then at the same time, the Philippines is calling, and they say the needs are even greater than before. Missionaries are leaving and going back, and we have nobody with experience over here to help to keep going. There's still unreached people. There's so many needs. Would you come back? We love the Philippines. I can't even begin to tell you how much we love our life there, but I had got comfortable in Missouri, serving the Lord and loving Philippa a little bit with all her heart and soul and mind, you know? And I struggled to make that decision. Danny was like, let's go. Yep, you know, Danny's all for it. He's full of adventure. I'm terrified to fly. Danny jumps out of the planes. Like, we could not be more different in that area. And I realized I got comfortable in Missouri, serving the Lord and yet serving me a little bit too in many ways. And staying there would have brought no judgment from anybody. People there would have been glad to have us. Our supporters were supporting there. Would have been no judgment from anybody had we stayed there and been in ministry. It was a good thing. But I knew between me and the Lord what he was asking me to do. And I remember one morning, as the Lord in his word always does, he brings verses to us at just the right time. And I was reading through the book of Acts with my little Judah, actually, and I came to verse 24 of Acts 20. And this is the verse I read. But my life is worth nothing to me unless I use it for finishing the work assigned to me by the Lord Jesus, the work of telling others the good news about the wonderful grace of God. And I knew the Lord saying, Philippa, you went once, but you haven't finished. And are you still willing to believe me with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind and all your strength and go back? And guess what? When the Lord asks you, he's still the Lord. And before him, we have to make those decisions. And I was able to say, yes, Lord. I've lived long enough that I'm not about to say no to you. And so I said yes, and we packed up our bags and got ready, and we left Missouri after being there for 20 years. We left Missouri yet again, and guess what? Those fears from 20 years ago, I'd love to say they're all gone. You know what? They actually feel bigger. In many, many ways, they feel bigger. I'm now going back with Danny, who's had cancer. But every 6 months we get scans, and that could change at any time. We live with that. We don't live in fear of it, but we live with it. Our kids are older. Transitions are hard. Travel's hard. In a world of COVID, it feels like we are flowing upstream. The Philippines is even closed right now, and we're trying to get a restriction to get in. It feels like we're walking right up to a Red Sea. The place that we're going to is a harder place than we've been before. They've asked us to go to a new island, a new language, our third one. We're going down to a Muslim island down in Mindanao. Our personal safety's on a whole different level. And this is what the Lord has put before us. And fear can be very paralyzing in my life. If I were to look at all those things, and I did, or I wrote a pro and con list, and I'm probably the only person in the world that was like, Roach, Missouri looks really good. Not many people say that, but it looked really good. But fear can raise its ugly head at any stage in our lives and can be very paralyzing. But something I've noticed over the years of coming back to America for 20 years now is that something very dangerous has happened, is that fear has become an acceptable excuse in our culture. A perfectly good reason not to obey. And I have to revisit the motivations behind my decisions, making my decisions. What am I really believing? What am I really believing when I make this decision? Am I making this decision as somebody who loves God with all her heart and all her soul and all her mind and all her strength? Or am I making this decision from fear and comfort and what's become acceptable in the culture around me? A.W. Tozer says, what comes into our mind when we think about God is the most important thing about us. Shalini mentioned yesterday, your beliefs affect your behavior. And you can flip that and you can look at your own life and you can say, how I live shows who or what I'm believing. On a regular Tuesday morning with my ordinary life, how I respond to the people around me, the decisions I make with my money, my priorities with your time, it shows who and what you are believing. And I have experienced for 25 now, years now, friends, that fear and the doubt and the feeling of inadequacy might never be gone. I'll never probably ever feel ready for the next thing that the Lord is asking me to do. I still feel weak and incapable and not the person that should be going off to the Philippines on this new venture. I could always give an excuse, but God. And as I keep stepping out in obedience, despite the fear, despite the doubt, despite all the unknowns, and I keep moving towards the Lord and His will and His word, He gives more grace. He gives more strength. He gives more wisdom. He gives more faith. It's not something I have to conjure up in and of myself. He gives it to you. This past few days, I've been in and out using this bathroom like I'm sure many of you have. And I've noticed two words every time I've been in there. And it's on the container that holds the towels for you to dry your hand with. And it says, motion activated. And every time I've walked into the bathroom, I've looked at those words and I've thought, God doesn't take my fear away before I go. God doesn't take my weakness away before I obey. But as I go, He gives the strength. He gives the grace. He gives the joy. He gives the contentment. But it's motion activated. I've got to be moving towards Him. He has provided strength for me every step of the way. Little old me, who I never thought could do very much of anything, the Lord has given the strength every step of the way. And yet in this current situation, heading back to the Philippines, I have got to tell you, at 2 a.m. in the morning, I wake up some mornings just sweating. Lord, what am I doing? Really? Are we really going back across a world that seems so complicated right now to a country that's actually closed, to an island we've never been to before, to lead other people and to bring the gospel to unreached? This just seems really extra hard. And this past week we went to Yosemite and we were celebrating my daughter Izzy's 11th birthday, and she really wanted to climb to the top of Vernal Falls and have a picnic at the top. And she's so excited, Mom's gonna be great. And I was like, yes, I'm afraid of heights. Fearful Philippa is afraid of heights. And the last time they went, Doug, Danny's dad, took the kids up and they went up the top. And Dixie and I had a sweet conversation at the bottom of a cup of coffee. That's my comfort zone, right? But this time Doug has a bad hip and he couldn't take them. So they're like, Mom, we'll do it together. It'll be great. We'll take a picture at the top and everything. And they're so excited. And I started out and Danny was like, come on, you can do it. You know, we started out and it's been a long time since I've done it. I did it once before, 650 steps up. Physically, no problem, but my legs started to shake every time I would look down. I was just, Lord, I can't do this. I'm terrified. I was starting to get dizzy, and then I was stressed about being dizzy on a mountain. And so I'm just, everything was going against me. And we were getting, I thought, I'm doing pretty good. We get to the top, and I had forgotten that last part. I don't know if you've all done Vernal Falls. Yes. You get to the top and suddenly there's a hand railing and like 25 steps and it's a straight drop, the waterfall. My heart literally sank and I was like, Lord, I can't do this. I'm going to just wait here for them to come down. And both the kids, Mom, you're doing great. We're so proud of you. Come on. And I'm like, Lord, please. And there was only one way I knew I was going to get the top. I handed my water bottle to Danny. He was right behind me. And I literally turned my whole body away from the railing, a rail from the whole scene. And I literally turned my whole self towards the rock. And I put my hand in the crevices. I'm even shaking thinking about it. Into the crevices of the rock. And I took one step. And I just stood there and I put my hand in the next and I just kept looking at that rock before me and I took one more step. And halfway up, the Lord said to me, Philippa, this is it. You have got to take your eyes off all the circumstances and all the unknowns and all the cliff edges you are imagining out there. And you have got to turn your eyes to me and cling to me. I am your rock. Keep believing. And I took one more step, and one more step, and one more step, and we got to the top. And the joy, when we got to the top, and my kids were so excited. And that is the story of my life. People say, Philip, I don't know how you do those bugs, no water. This is it. Clinging to Jesus one step at a time. There is no other way. I don't want there to be another way. And the views that I have got of him from the top of those mountains are precious to me more than any comfortable life that the Lord had ever could ever have given me. Psalm 23, 5 and 6 says, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. Follow me. That's why Proverbs 31, we don't look ahead in fear. We can laugh at the future because goodness and mercy is following us. Our God is going to be faithful. He is true. But ladies, as I finish here this morning, I just have to say, from somebody who's lived on the other side of the world with people who have never had the gospel, every time I come home, it hits me again how privileged we are. And I want to challenge you this morning, let's not hold up our past obediences to the Lord and offer them again to him. Those years I taught in Sunday school 20 years ago, that large financial gift I gave to the church 5 years ago, that missions trip I went on once. The Lord wants us to keep loving him every day with all our heart and soul and mind. Keep being obedient. Don't get comfortable. Don't set aside the things of the Lord to start to build our own life that we're entitled to now. Keep going. Yesterday we read Philippians 4, verse 8, you know, whatsoever things are true. And Sandy was sitting beside me and she said, read verse 9. And verse 9 says, keep putting into practice all you have learned and received from me. And that's what I would like to leave you ladies with this morning, is to keep putting into practice what you have received from the Lord Jesus. Don't start making decisions now at this stage of walking with the Lord. Don't make it from fear, but in faith. Keep stepping up. Keep being those strong women. The world needs you. Pastor Robles needs you to keep stepping out and into everything that God has called you to. Thank you.